This is Living the RV Dream, episode 75 for Friday, October 18th, 2018.
I'm riding in my RV, wherever I want to be, 'cause I'm free in my RV.
Hello, happy campers. Hello, everybody. Hello, pelican heads. And welcome to another episode of the podcast. And first of all, I want to apologize. I skipped last week. I didn't record an episode because, to be honest, I was busy and I mentally wasn't in the zone to do one of these. I was still... I know it's a lame excuse, but I wasn't really in the mood, and my mind was somewhere else. My mind was truck searching, and as probably most of you know, if you've been following me here for a while or on YouTube or in social media, my old tow vehicle died after almost 15 years of service. It didn't really die; it was killed. I took it for just in case you don't know, let me give you the quick recap here. I took it for maintenance at one of these tire shops. I mean, they had been good in the past. And apparently, while they were doing the tune-up, a piece of spark plug fell inside the engine, and they didn't notice it, they didn't realize it, and they fired up the engine, and the rest is engine history. They ordered a new motor. They ordered the new motor and they installed it. Apparently, he ordered a Hyundai motor and I had a Kia. And I think one of the problems was that at the time I bought my Kia 2004, Kia and Hyundai were not the same company yet. So it is possible that the motor wasn't a perfect match. Anyways, I took off on my road trip, and as you probably know, I broke down in Mooresville, North Carolina. I mean, eventually they rented me a truck and I was able to make it all the way to Maine and back. But they were not able to repair old Kia. And since old Kia, really, by the book, it was worth probably about $1,000. They just, basically gave me a settlement of whatever they thought Kia was worth. But plus a little more for my trouble, I guess, and all the money that I had spent on the tune-up and brakes, and I had even bought brand new tires for the vehicle. So, in any case, that's a loss right there. So since I had a little bit of a down payment and a little bit of savings, the only way to go was to research what would be the best truck, and the best truck for me, because I asked the community, of course, and there are all kinds of opinions or all kinds of favorites, and everybody has their favorites, and that's fine, you know. And after I drove that Ford F-250, I wasn't used to that type of truck, but I didn't like it at all. So I decided Ford might not be the one for me, but you still have a bunch of other brands. So that's what I'm going to talk today about, truck searching, and what's the best truck for your travel trailer and or fifth wheel for that matter. And I'm going to refer a lot to an article in the John Huggins website, livingthervdream.com, which is still maintained by him. I just took over the podcast, and that website, by the way, if you guys have any questions about the RV lifestyle, That is the place to go. It has all kinds of information and it's up to date. And it is where I learned and where many of us learned from, sometimes from his mistakes, and how not to make them, or at least not make any major mistakes. You know, we all once in a while do something that, you know, we can learn a lesson from, you know. But before we continue talking about that, I do believe we have some voicemail.
It's not Eric in Vegas.
Hold on, we got to stop watching you. One of your videos. Robert, could you make a cap either in black or blue that says "Living Free in My RV"? If you do, I will get one. Thank you. Have a great day. Bye.
Well, I thought I had more than one message, but I guess that's just the one. And And Kenneth, believe it or not, it's harder than it seems to find a good manufacturer that where I could make these hats like on demand, you know, because I don't want to buy like 100 and then get stuck with a bunch of them. And the less you make, the more expensive they are. But I'm working on it, you know, and for a long time I've been wanting to make hats, and a lot of people have asked to make hats, any baseball caps or any other type of hat, maybe a trucker hat. I don't know exactly what you guys want. But yeah, living free in my RV, I might not do it exactly like that because there's someone else on YouTube whose logo, whose name is Living Free. So I don't know if I'm, if that would be in any way, it's not a copyright violation or anything like that, but it, you know, I guess it would be unethical to use someone else's name for my product. But what I'm thinking of making it is I'm free in my RV, and that's the hat that I'm going to make. And I'm looking for a manufacturer. If you guys know of anybody who manufactures these hats, and I could like manufacture them on demand, you know, and you would order from this company and I would get a commission. That's the way I would like to do it, the same way that I do with the t-shirts and other swag. By the way, new t-shirts coming up soon with the new logo, with the new truck. I just have to be able to finally go out on a trip towing Minitini, the trailer, and take a couple of pictures, you know, at a campground or somewhere with good lighting. And then, you know, do like a cutaway of the truck towing the trailer. Coming soon, all that. And let me know if you would like to have the picture of my trailer in the hat, or if you prefer just the letters, and maybe in the back, you know, travelingrobert.com, something like that. You know, so people know it's my merchandise. Please let me know. I'm sorry. I had to pause the podcast because I got a call from someone who is recommending, you know, a viewer of the channel who is recommending a Tono cover. And until yesterday, I thought Tono was the brand, and apparently is the type of cover that you put on top of the bed of the truck. I'm telling you, I never knew getting a new truck would entail such a complication. But anyway, going back to the research, of course, first of all, there are the heavy duty trucks, which is like the Ford F-250 or the Ram 2500, and that's what you would get if you have a large trailer or a fifth wheel. I mean, you could go even higher for a fifth wheel. Of course, you always have to pair your truck with the trailer, something that I sort of did, but I was really pushing old Kia with a 3,000 pound dry trailer. Then the other trucks that I was looking at was, you know, the F-150, which I didn't really look into that one. I used to like it before, but after I drove that F-250, I didn't want to deal with Ford, although it may be a totally fine truck, and there are many, many Ford fans. The other one would be the Chevy Silverado and the Dodge Ram 1500, of course. A lot of them have the choice of either a V6, V8, or even a diesel engine. So there are so many choices. And of course, I only mentioned the big three, but then you have the Toyota Tundra and the Nissan Titan. I mean, there are so many of these trucks. And I looked at some of them. That's what they call a full-size truck. And I still felt that it was a little too big for what I needed. At the end of the day, my trailer, and I don't intend to go much bigger than that. My trailer is probably fully loaded for 5,000 pounds, maybe, you know, if I really... I don't recall exactly right now what the GVWR is on that vehicle, but I know it can hold a lot. So, but anyways, I was even able to test drive a Ram 1500, and I really liked it. It was still a little felt too big because I'm not used to driving a truck either. So, so it felt a little big, and those are the full size trucks, right? F-150, Ram 1500, Silverado, the regular 1500 Silverado, and then you have the, like I said, the Nissan Titan and the Toyota Tundra. But then I've started looking into what they call mid-size trucks. They don't have light trucks anymore, apparently, on the market. But the light trucks, and the choices are very limited because Ford is not making one at the moment, although they are coming out with a new Ranger. And Dodge doesn't have one either. But someone recommended that I look into the Chevy Colorado, which, by the way, this GMC Canyon would be exactly the same powertrain. It's just a little more luxurious inside the cockpit. And also, actually, I originally fell in love with a Toyota Tacoma, and I thought Toyota because, you know, it has that reputation of reliability, and, you know, when you go to a third world country. What are they driving off-road? An old Tacoma or an old Land Cruiser, you know. So that's what I thought the Tacoma would be a good choice. And I'll let you know right now why I didn't go with the Tacoma. Before mentioning also the Nissan Frontier, which I don't like that truck. I think personally it looks ugly. And even though when you are towing something, looks are not all that important, I do not like. I didn't feel at all at home behind the wheel of a Frontier. And I actually test drove one about a year ago when we bought the other Nissan that we have here in the house, Sentra. And I asked the salesman, let me just check it out just in case, because I'm gonna be in the market for a truck at some point. I mean, at 145,000 miles and 15 years of service, I knew old Kia was going to either die one day or probably not be killed like it was. But anyways, and there was another one that in the mid-size category that people were recommending, and that's the Honda Ridgeline. My problem with the Honda Ridgeline is that that is not a true truck in the sense that it's built on a unibody. Construction. It's not a body on frame construction or ladder frame, like they call it. So it didn't feel like it was as heavy duty a truck as it could be. Besides, I think that the top towing capacity was like 5,000 pounds. So it was it was still sufficient to tow my current trailer, but not nearly enough. So I was in between now the Toyota Tacoma, which could tow 6,800. And the Colorado, the Chevy Colorado, which if you get the diesel option, it does have a Duramax four cylinder diesel option. It was like 7,800 pounds. But the V6 gas was 7,000 pounds, and the price was a lot less. So I decided to go with the diesel. I mean, the fuel economy is not as good as the, I mean, I decided to go with the gas instead of the diesel. The fuel economy is not as great, but I figured, you know, it's probably easier to fix, easier to maintain, and cheaper to buy, of course. And why did I decide for the Colorado? By the way, I did decide to go with the Chevy Colorado instead of the Toyota Tacoma. The Toyota Tacoma, the cabin, it sits kind of higher off the ground. But then the roof is kind of low, so it is about the size of a car cabin. You are kind of sitting on the floor of the truck, which is kind of weird in a sense. And then the hood sits kind of high. And the fuel economy, it's not a big deal, but apparently it's slightly less than that of the Colorado. Now the other option was: should I go 4x4 or should I go, you know, rear wheel drive 2x4? And I would have loved to have 2x4 because, as you guys know, I love the desert. I love Arizona, and I wanted to do some off roading. But then the 2x4 is $5,000 more, and I'm sorry. I mean, I don't have that. You know, I'm not rich, not yet. Anyway, I don't have that kind of money. I didn't want to spend that kind of money. I didn't want to get into so much debt. As it was, this has been probably the biggest purchase I've ever made besides the house, really. Because old Kia was, what, 26 list price, and I got it for, you know, 23, probably less than that. And anyways, I read about the difference between 2x4 and 4x4. The fuel economy is a little better with the 2x4 to begin with. And then I read that 80% of the time, if you have a rear locking differential, with which I do now, the chances of you getting stuck, you know, are not that great. That real rear locking differential will take you a long way, and then the four-wheel drive will, like, you know, rescue you basically in those extreme occasions that happen rarely. I mean, I'm sure the day that I get stuck, knock on wood, hopefully I won't, but the day that I get stuck, I'll be very happy if I have a 4x4, or I'll regret not having one in this case. But I'm just not that, you know, that big of an off-roader. I've never been. So I just want to, you know, do a little bit of non-paved roads, maybe go to the desert bar near Quartzsite, Arizona, and eventually go to Alaska, you know, take some of those gravel roads in Alaska, and maybe even do a section of the Dalton Highway towing, and eventually do the whole Dalton Highway. I want to do the Dempster Highway in Alaska. I mean, in Alaska, no, in Canada. And those two highways are the ones that go to all the way to the Arctic Ocean. Well, the Dalton takes you almost there, and then you have to take a tour. But the Dempster Highway takes you all the way to the Arctic Ocean, and that's something that I want to do. 2020 Alaska, 2020. Let's make a hashtag Alaska 2020, because that's when I would love to make that trip once again to Alaska. And well, that's the story. I got a Chevy Colorado. 2x4, the LT trim with a V6 engine, and it has a couple of the packages. You know, the thing is, and this is something to note when you buy a Colorado, they don't, a lot of them, even if it has the trailer in package, it doesn't have the built-in brake controller, and apparently it's a whole ordeal. You have to flash the memory, the board of the computer, because in order to install the Delco, you know, the original factory brake controller. Otherwise, you have to do an aftermarket, and that's kind of unelegant in a way. So it was really hard to find a truck that had the trailer in package with the brake controller, and they found it, you know, some miles north of here, and it wasn't exactly the color that I wanted. I wanted the silver one, you know, so it would match same color of my old tow vehicle. And so my logo wouldn't look all that different. But I got one, the color is called Shadow Gray Metallic. And it's kind of a cool color, because it looks different depending how the sun hits it. Sometimes it looks kind of green. Sometimes it looks plain gray. Sometimes it looks kind of bluish. Like, imagine the color of the Miami Dolphins, but very, very, very low, very low saturation. You know, it's just a very subtle, like, greenish, bluish, grayish color. But it's pretty cool. I like it. I'll be showing it soon in one of my YouTube videos. And anyways, a lot of the research that I've done on this, of course, I've done on the livingthervdream.com website, which is still maintained by John Huggins. Of course, John Huggins was the original host, the creator of the Living the RV Dream podcast. And a little over a year ago, about a year and a half ago, he called me and he told me that if I wanted to take over with the name, you know, and he gave me administrative privileges on the Living the RV Dream group, the Living the RV Dream podcast group on Facebook. And that's what I've been doing for the past 75 episodes. Once again, I'm sorry I missed the previous episode, but my mind really wasn't into it. I was still in the final stages of research, and even with all the rich research that I did, I learned some things right up to the moment when I was buying the truck, because there is so much information, and car dealers are not very forthcoming. I mean, it's still an archaic process, purchasing a vehicle. And, you know, there are so many options and so many things. And then if you get this package, you cannot get the brake controller. But if you get the brake controller, you must get this other package. And those kind of things that are, like, kind of unnerving. It's an archaic process. It took, like, 4 or 5 hours to buy the car. And then you go to finance and this and that. And they try to sell you all kinds of extended warranties, which some people swear by them. I don't believe in extended warranties. I I think most of the time they're a waste of money. But you know, some people, if you have a very expensive, so something that is very expensive to fix, like a diesel pusher, you know, like John Huggins swears by the extended warranty that he bought. So opinions differ on this, like they do on everything else. Anyways, the day that Amazon starts selling cars, it's gonna be another game changer, and I wouldn't be surprised if that happens at some point. And that's all I have for you today, really. It's just me rambling about my decision to get a truck. And I did. It's sitting out there. I've had her for less than 48 hours, and I'm starting to like it. At the beginning, it felt big and kind of clunky and difficult to park, but I can't wait for those 500 miles of break-in period so I can hitch up and go somewhere close and really test it out towing. Until next week, thank you so much for listening. Actually, I'm gonna play a tune for you guys here before we go. It is I don't think I've played it for you guys. Did I play it last week? If I or the week before? If I did, I apologize. This is called I think that I did, but I'll play it again. Anyways, it's called a New Jersey Turnpike. And I made it for my New York video, and I was basically just thinking of Tony Soprano driving on the New Jersey Turnpike and looking over, you know, the Manhattan skyline, and that's basically the inspiration for it. Once again, until next week, thank you so much for listening, and see you on the road, living the RV dream, loving the RV lifestyle, because you know what? I'm free in my RV.